first episode of Quiver, the Green Arrow podcast. Yes, the sexual innuendo is intended. It's a CW show after all. I am your host, Michael Cohen, and along with me is my co-host, Amanda Konkin.
Hi, I'm Amanda.
So we are here to talk all about Arrow, which is the Green Arrow television series on CW. We just watched the first episode. In fact, we just watched the first episode twice. In fact, this isn't really the first episode of Quiver. This is the second episode of Quiver because I didn't really hit the record button the first time around. And I'm gonna own that.
I love that you're owning that. It's just, yeah. It's good. We're starting off at a good time. We're really rehearsed for this. We've talked about it now two times through. I don't know. Yeah. The first time we watched the show, we talked about it a little bit. Second time we recorded ourselves or unrecorded ourselves. And now we're giving it a go. It's good. Third time's a charm. There you go.
Yeah. And this time we have the cheat sheet. So we actually know the names of the actors and their characters,
which we also knew the first time around.
Absolutely.
Obviously.
Absolutely. We did not profile anybody in our descriptions of it. That didn't happen at all.
No, it's good. It's a good show. It's fun.
Cool. So before we get into it, just a quick introduction. I'm Michael Cohen. Some people may be listening because they've come from other shows that I've been on. I host Frontlines, the Clone Wars podcast. I like to put that right there in the title of my podcast. It's a funny name or clever name, and then this is what the podcast is about. So you've got Quiver, the Green Arrow podcast, and that was important. It's not the Arrow podcast. This is the Green Arrow podcast. Okay. So we're going to cover more than just Arrow when we talk about stuff. Particularly, we're going to talk a lot about Smallville, so just be prepared for that. But I've done other podcasts before, so this is my second podcast that I've co-created this time with Amanda. You find me other places on the internet, doing crazy stuff like my art show 8 Bits of Destiny,
Created our website for us.
Yeah, so. And I put together the website because I am a graphic designer. That's what I do. So any of that pretty stuff, I am responsible for that. All that, those nice graphics, the album artwork and everything.
It does look beautiful.
So that's my part, and I'm kind of the moderator. I'm driving the crazy bus that you guys have all bought tickets for.
And I'm the crazy bus, I guess. Like, I'll go off in the tangents, and Michael will steer us back in the right direction.
Yeah, it's good. It's a thing of Amanda and I have these conversations anyways. And at one point, we said, we should really do a podcast. And then my wife said, it's stupid. You guys should be recording these conversations and sharing them with other people. So not because we're so incredibly insightful or ingenious, but because we are ridiculous and stupidly passionate about these things that are completely inconsequential, like Arrow. So
how can you say that?
So that's a little bit about me. And Amanda, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, I'm the one that's going to talk about all the randomness that comes into this show, because I feel like Michael's a little bit more up on the comic books, like all of that sort of, you know, canon. But I really am just passionate about shows and television and sci-fi, and so much so that me and a couple of my friends got together and started, I don't know, recording stuff around the Lower Mainland, and we called it Four Geeks Media just because we were so passionate about things. So I've been doing that for a while, and I do a podcast with Andrew Lynch on there called Geeksploitation. So we talk about geek culture and mainstream media, and I'm just really interested in talking about anything that just seems really cool and awesome, and I come at it through the sci-fi. I really am a big fan of Superman, and that's why I started watching Smallville. And then that sort of introduced me to the Green Arrow, which I thought was really interesting. I mean, Justin Hartley did such a great job on Smallville portraying that character that it really made me want to know a little bit more about it. And you had Dinah Lance on that show as well. So just this sort of, I really was interested in that. Plus, I love Robin Hood, that sort of story arc and the idea of like putting that into modern culture. Anyway, so I'm very excited to see where this is going to go and just all the stuff about that and talk and nerd out about it a little bit. So that's why I'm here.
Cool. So here, just to give you an idea of what the show is going to be, we're in a few minutes going to hit play on the episode. Amanda and I are going to watch the episode for the third time tonight, And as we do, we're going to kind of give almost a commentary, but we're going to go off on tangents. We're going to talk about all sorts of things.
Oh, yeah.
Not necessarily exactly what's on screen, but so you've been warned. It's going to be spoiler laden. It's just going to be full of things. So if you haven't watched the episode yet,
go do it.
Pause this, watch the pilot, and then come back.
And then watch the pilot again with us.
Yeah, exactly.
Good.
Exactly.
So, and then you can listen to how awesome we are instead of us just telling you how awesome we are, obviously, from this introduction. So it's good.
Well, that's introductions. That's what introductions are all about. Anybody who doesn't tell you how awesome they are in an introduction is they have low self-esteem.
Oh, okay.
And they're not worth keeping around. So
all right. There you go. On that note, awesome.
Anyway.
Good.
So yeah, we're all set to get into this. So let's
sure.
start the episode.
That's good. I'm really excited to see what happens. I don't know. I think
there's a lot of twists and turns.
I'm
going to
discover new things in the third viewing of the episode in one night. Like, it's one thing to watch a show multiple times, like during a week, where you're just like, oh, I really want to watch that.
But within the span of literally 3 hours to have watched it three times,
it's good because now we can really like describe sort of our new insights as we're coming up on this. So
yeah,
it's exciting. There's lots happening.
So there's that first, we have a closed caption, and that first closed caption, breathing heavily.
It's good.
So it's a good tone to set for the series.
It is. Oh, innuendo is fabulous.
As this dude in a green hood, I'm assuming is Green Arrow.
Green pants, too.
He's got
like,
green
was he
pants,
wearing
yeah.
all green on the boat? I don't think he was wearing
Where did he get all of this green material to put together this outfit? And become the Green Arrow as he runs around, you know, the coast of Vancouver.
I know, yes, this very sort of tropical island. They couldn't even do that, right? They couldn't even pretend it was tropical and have him have his shirt off because, you know, you're in Vancouver.
Yeah.
It's cold.
Yeah, they couldn't just, like, put one palm tree there and make us believe that they're actually in the
No. I love that they're sort of playing to, they know where they are. And this was the first sort of emphasis of his technology there. He's just shot his first arrow and you see it be kind of high tech. He's in the middle of this island and he's got, like, a flint arrow where you can just, like...
Yeah.
Light a match and light his signal fire, which is great.
Because it makes so much more sense to keep your matches 100 feet away from the pile of kindling and have to shoot it with an arrow.
Yeah.
But whatever. I'm sure he has his reasons.
Oh, you know what? You didn't research what that mask is. There's like a mask.
No,
at the beginning
I didn't.
Of his...
I completely.
I
that was the one thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's if anybody can tell us, it's
from comic books, there's that mask.
It's not
Deadshot,
but it's something I can't. That's my problem is that I keep on fixating on Deadshot.
Deadshot's
a different character,
but I like
who I'm
like,
sure we'll see on Arrow at some point. I guarantee we'll
really?
See Deadshot. We saw him on Smallville, so.
Nice. Oh, yeah,
but yeah, we saw that mask. It's sort of it's cut down the middle. One side's black, one side's orange, and I'm sure that all of you listening to this know exactly who we're talking about.
I have no idea who we're talking about. But it's good. No, I like they sort of are giving little homages to comic book fans, which is great because they know their audience.
Yeah.
I'll give the CW that when they're setting this up, they really sort of understand where they're coming from, and a lot of people I'm sure are like me that are coming at it through Smallville, right? That's and then you can't have Batman on the small screen, so you have the Green Arrow. Look on TMZ, it's great. I love this sort of shaky cam. I'm a celebrity.
And his terrible before the island wig.
Hair.
Yeah.
He just like, he
his
can
hair
like brush
plugs.
It out of his eyes.
Yeah.
Just,
it totally looks like hair plugs though. Like it's terrible.
That's good. So that he looks so sort of begrudging and
well, he looks like an Abercrombie and Fitch model.
He does.
In
that's
all
true.
Of the stuff beforehand, that's which true. I think is very, like it's, that was a decision that
that's,
they made.
Yeah, and that's a good choice. I mean, it does make him sort of nicer. So this is, one of the first sort of people that we'll recognize on the show. So it's good. I mean, it's being shot here in Vancouver, which, so we have a connection to the show a little bit more than other people do. I don't know. Maybe you have a connection to it, too, from Vancouver.
Yeah, we're in Vancouver, so we definitely, we recognize some locations and some people.
Yeah, it's good.
And, it's Hiro Kanagawa.
Yeah, one of the local playwrights in Vancouver.
Yeah.
So it's nice to see people that, like, the CW is really great in doing bringing this show. They knew that they had a real supportive community here in Vancouver, and I really appreciate that they brought sort of the same genre and are giving people work here in the community and really are connecting to it. So that's one thing where I'm like, kudos to you. You may not have brought Justin Hurley. partly back for Green Arrow, but you brought back the essence of it.
And that guy can't catch a break. They wouldn't let him be Aquaman.
I know.
They bring him on as Green Arrow so that he has something to do, and then he gets brought on as a series regular, and then the series is over. And yeah. He got a few years out of it.
Yeah,
but,
yeah. No, that's good.
But then they're like, we're doing a Green Arrow show, and they're like, but not with you.
He's on that show, Emily Owens, MD, now.
Yes,
so
he
it's
is.
Good. It's okay.
He
don't weep for Justin Hartley. He gets to
one of which I mark my words. One of the first shows to be canceled. The first cancellation of the season was Made in Jersey on CBS, really? Which just came out. That news just hit
who
today.
Saw that one coming? Oh my gosh!
I thought it was going to be The Mob Doctor, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, okay,
but a procedural that has to do with the mob that might be around for a while.
Oh,
unfortunately.
Man. I love that we just completely digress to this, like, other space. We'll talk more about Smallville. It's good.
So, we've gotten introductions from some other characters here. His mother's new husband.
We don't know yet.
Walter Steele. And the maid, Raisa.
Yeah, yeah.
Who is Russian, I guess? We find out late because he speaks Russian to her later, right?
Oh, so, does he speak to her?
I think so. He's just speaking Russian at
people. Russian at the dinner table.
And now we're seeing his sister, Thea Queen.
Can we just call her Speedy?
We're just going to call her Speedy, and we'll explain why. If you've seen it, you already have seen the episode, so you know why we're calling her Speedy. But and now we're being introduced to
Laurel
Lance, mm-hmm. not Dinah Lance.
Laurel,
which is
who's
important.
A lawyer, and I'll
Laurel the lawyer.
Laurel Lance the lawyer. It's like Mooney the model. I don't know. Anyways,
Lois Lane, lady reporter.
Oh,
right?
Yeah,
so,
yeah,
it's always got to have the alliteration.
The alliteration. So it's good. We drew this parallel in our sort of witty repartee with one another earlier, and I really like this to bring it in now. Is the idea of justice, that she's this figure that works in law and has her own sort of idea of justice and how to get fight crime, and it's a nice parallel, I think, to what they're setting up between her and Ollie. So. And then you get the first indication of, like, her connection to Oliver Queen. Because you don't know at the beginning if he's going to be in a relationship with her, if she's going to be introduced that soon. I was actually surprised that they have her as a series regular, like, right off the bat.
I thought it'd be interesting to
introduce her. But you really set up sort of this dynamic between the two characters that, like, really obviously something happened there. So.
Yeah. Well, I think you can kind of tell, based on all of the characters that they've kind of added in, that when they decided to do the show, that they were a little bit stretched for supporting cast. Because really, in the comics, Green Arrow is solo, right? He doesn't really have... Like, I mean, he has Speedy in the later stuff, but...
He doesn't have either of his parents, he doesn't have any
siblings, he doesn't have an Alfred, he doesn't have he doesn't have all these things that other characters have, so they wrote in a lot of this support cast.
You know what, this is an interesting thing that you're talking about, because we are noticing already that he's a much darker hero than is normally on television, and it feels going to be interesting to play this dynamic where they're surrounding him with characters, but really one of the things that defines him in his darkness is his solidarity, so that's going to be interesting how they play with that, and sort of a dichotomy in his character. And something that I'm sort of struggling with in this episode that I've been talking about a little bit is the idea that he has these dual personalities he's got to play on, but he's still sort of one note, and still feeling out this character and seeing how he's going to fit into it.
Yeah, well, I made the comment earlier about it sucked because we went from 10 years of Smallville and then we have to start over at day one with Steve Amell as
this character,
as Green Arrow, as Oliver Queen, and we're just so used to these fleshed out characters on these shows, and now we've got a whole new set of actors learning these characters for the first time, so I think that they got a really long road ahead of them. But if you think back to season one of Smallville or season one of Buffy or any of these shows that of this, like, of the same genre nature, the characters are kind of loose to begin with, and it's really, you know, it's like halfway through that first season that they
kind of loose to begin with. I just want to note that that's the great joke right there where he's like, I didn't know you took Russian in college. Well, I didn't know you wanted to sleep with my mother.
Yeah.
Ooh, burn. Sorry. It's great. That's a great Ollie moment, I think.
Yeah. Those are the moments that we need to get more of in order to really connect with the character, because that's the Oliver Queen, the left-wing, liberal, wisecracking superhero, right? So we got to see more of that stuff, I think.
They're making it really dark. I feel like that humor is what's going to be nice and sort of define him, and I think that that's the only time we really see that lightness of character, and I think maybe that's something that I'm, again, maybe struggling with in this first episode, is the idea that they are setting up to be such a dark sort of tone. And they're trying to make it light with this his buddy, right, Tommy Marlin or whatever his name is, that... They're like, I have all these witty jokes that are about Lost, but they're not actually about Lost. They're just saying the word Lost so that you know that I know about television.
Yeah.
I don't know.
The Whedon-esque jokes, but they aren't quite hitting, right? You know what? And I think you're right. I think you've sort of hit the nail on the head with that, is that the tone is very dark. The tone is very mature. Mm-hmm. And then they come in with these one-liners that are supposed to be reminiscent of, you know, Buffy and Smallville and all these other shows that they always have that one character who's always got a pop culture reference in the back pocket, right?
Yeah.
And it, in this show in particular, it feels really out of place.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see. It's a pilot, so the tone could change a lot.
Oh yeah.
Right now we're getting one of these really dark scenes. The boat's just Sarah's flipped over
sinking.
Or whatever.
And, oh, and she goes. Away.
And there goes Sarah, and there's nothing that he can do about it. So that first indication of just why he's so dark.
Yeah, you really get that.
What's going on?
That's the thing. Yeah. They do set that tone up here. And this is the thing I missed the first time I saw it, but this idea that he says to Sarah, he's like, your sister will never know. Like, that creates a huge thing that, like, I didn't realize that, like, he was cheating on Dinah with... Sorry. Cheating on Laurel with Sarah, and then the way Laurel found out was that her sister died along with Ollie. Like, that's intense.
Yeah. Well, she has the line when they kind of have their confrontation that she didn't get the chance to mourn.
Yeah. Because
she was angry.
And she didn't have the chance to be angry because she was mourning.
It's unfair.
It's intense.
Right? And we have the scene of the PTSD Ollie.
Oh yeah.
Kind
of pretty badass. He like whips his mom over, but at the same time you're like, I don't know why she's,
the doctor is like, he's got fractures all over the place and scar tissue. He's been through a lot, so he might not be the same Oliver that left, right? You didn't get the same guy back. So, in the middle of the night when he's having night terrors, let's go touch him.
Yeah. That's a good idea. In the middle of the night, they come in and they're still in their suit. I'm very curious about, so they're just like hanging out anyways. Yeah.
They were having clandestine meetings.
I know,
okay?
Right.
Come on.
Well, there is a lot going on.
They are in the Luther Mansion,
that
all
is
right?
True. Yeah.
Think back to it. How often was Lionel not in a suit in the Luther Mansion? Didn't matter what time of night it was.
Oh my god, they caught the same clothing as well as the location. Yeah. My goodness. So, but that's good.
Oh, it's going to be, I think this location is going to be very similar in tone to how it was used in Smallville. But
I love this ominous box that he's got with
his gear.
The box on the island and like I don't
well
know,
it's got the Chinese writing on it, so I think that he got it from the boat or on his way back or whatever, but good. it's full of all of his stuff from the island. So his bow and arrow and his there's a journal in there that was his father's.
Oh,
journal.
So that's the thing that he finds, right?
Yeah. So here we just got a little sneak peek at Speedy's drug problem, which is a reference to the classic comics of Green Arrow's teen sidekick Speedy. There's a classic comic cover of him walking in on Speedy shooting up, and he's like, "Oh my god!" And it's just like that's part of comics history. So they're gonna weave that in because they actually make the reference Speedy. Her friend calls her Speedy.
He calls her Speedy. Yeah. So it's the idea like that. It makes me like it a little bit more, right? When they change big plot point characters, like first of all, his mom's alive and he has a sister, which you're like, well, the Green Arrow doesn't have either of those things. What's the point of this? And I see now where they're going with this, like the idea of setting up all these different storylines and who he's going to be involved with and things like that. I don't know. I guess they're playing with this line, like it's okay for him to kill people, but she wasn't actually like shooting up when he walked in the room. So like, I think there is this line, I guess, that they're sort of putting her as this innocent. Anyways, it'll be interesting to see where they go with that. So
so here we've got Tommy and Oliver, and they're kind of like you feel like they're trying to get back to, you know, their relationship before he left, but there's something a little bit off here. Like it's just because he's not the same, right? Because he's come back and he's got all of these secrets that he's keeping. And yeah, I mean, like, it just, it kind of goes back to what you were saying before about the character. Like, he's a little bit too much. Like, he's a little bit too much of the, I gotta make jokes and one-liners, that sort of thing, but...
And you can get that there is a genuineness that like, you can see that Ollie wants to connect with his past, and he doesn't hate everything about it, but there is, like, this disconnect that, like, that Tommy reminds him of who he was, and I think that he really, like, coming away from that, wants to... I don't know, and he's using it as a shield. I wonder how much he's using Tommy, as much as Tommy's maybe using him, that he's using him as sort of this, like, protection to be like, no, I actually am this playboy philanthropist.
Yeah, no, I'm
guy.
All good, see, because I'm hanging out with my best friend. Yeah, we're exactly. fine. Everything's fine. I'm not just going to sit in a room and brood and be all angsty and stuff. That's because good. I was on an island by myself.
I know. So now, because he's got to keep up the persona, right? He's got to become the Green Arrow, so... Oh, here we are in Gastown, you know.
Yeah, beautiful Gastown on a nice August summer day.
Oh, no, it's nice. It's good locations. I feel like they're using... Something, too, I'm really liking about the city. They're using the locations well.
Yes.
Like, they really know how to use the city.
Yeah.
And it's not just all, you know, Smallville was in a back lot in Burnaby. And this actually is, like, back to the first couple seasons of Smallville where they were like, no, we actually have the budget to go around.
They actually
and, like,
went
use
downtown.
The cities
yeah.
and...
Yeah. Well, and it's nice because Vancouver definitely has its own atmosphere and its own feeling, but they've kind of taken that and they've given it its own thing. So that Starling City, the really oddly renamed Starling City, just could have been Star City. Everybody would have been fine.
I don't understand why they, this is like my big thing about why didn't they leave it as Star City?
Well,
I don't understand.
It's a CW thing, right? Some producer just went... No one's gonna... Star City doesn't sound like a real place.
Starling City.
Let's call it Starling City. And
then change the name entirely.
Yeah.
Make the tagline City of Stars. I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah. There's but other things that they could have done. Or just leave it as Star City. I mean, we're talking about a guy in a green hood running around shooting arrows at bad guys. Right? We got a confrontation here between Dinah and... Laurel. Dinah.
Yeah.
It's the big reveal for the end of the episode, and Oliver, and it doesn't go so well, their first conversation.
I think it was a little intense for me. That's one of the things I actually kind of liked about this episode, because I didn't really like it in the first little bit, is that they were, like, really being intense about a lot of things, but then they slowly started to reveal things. Like, it's like when you're like, why aren't they just calling her Dinah? I don't understand. And it's revealed slowly, like, all of his relationships to the different characters, and he really sinks into it. So I'll give the episode that it really, there's some really great reveals at the end of the episode, and a few nice transitions. I think this was one of the only nice transitions where there's, like, they're getting kidnapped and the light's going on, and then it flashes to the boat.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. I wonder how much they're going to be flashing back between his sort of origin on the island and where he is now in Starling City, because I feel like they've set up that trope in this episode, the idea that he is going to go back and forth and constantly be reminded, and we are probably not going to find out everything about the island until the very end of the season, right? Like, it seems like they're setting that up to be like a trope for the first season, or at least the first half of the season, where they really are sort of playing with that about how they're going to reveal how Ollie became Ollie. Because we don't know. We know that his dad told him something. He got a list of names of people from his dad, and that he was on this island and learned how to shoot. But we really don't know. Like, there's obviously other things that went on that island. I mean, you see that mass that's got an arrow through it. It's pretty dark, and he's calling it purgatory. He was there for 5 years.
Yeah.
So I was actually surprised that they opened up the episode with him running on the island and being saved. Like, I thought they might do... I don't know, but I'm kind of liking it. I think that it has potential and really will reveal some things to us. So
yeah, so here we've got him. He's been kidnapped by these guys in these red masks, these sort of skull masks. They're actually very reminiscent of a character called Black Mask from the DC comics.
Nice.
Who I think we've had hints that Black Mask might be in the series.
Oh, maybe it's the mom.
So the mom is Black Mask.
I don't
think so. I think Black Mask is actually a Batman villain.
Oh, okay.
So I think that they've kind of brought him over. He might just be one of those general DC villains from the last few years. But but these guys they look like it, but they've got red masks, and they've kidnapped him. And something that I didn't notice the first two times we watched the episode is that when they kidnap him, they shoot both him and Tommy with tranquilizer darts.
Yeah.
So if they really wanted them dead, they had the opportunity to kill them right there.
But they want to know why, what he knows. That's what
I think that's what this is all about, because we see
It is what it's all about.
As Oliver takes down the one guy.
With his awesome parkour jump.
Yeah, with his wicked parkour.
He looks like a bunny rabbit. I don't know. It's...
As he runs out, he checks to make sure that Tommy's okay, and then as he walks away, we see Tommy's eyes kind of flutter and then look up, like, almost like he's faking it, like he's been conscious.
Yeah, is he faking it, or is he actually, like, this is something they're playing around with, the Tommy character, right?
Yeah, there's more going on there than what's on the surface, I think.
Or there's not. They're playing both of these, right? Yeah. They're letting us, they're like, if you're too smart and you can figure it out, then we're not going to do anything with it.
Yeah.
Or if you're not smart enough, we're giving you just enough. And here you get, here's the dark... The dark arrow breaking the guy's back just because nobody can know his secret. Like, you really sort of feel that. Like, you can sort of feel the weight of that on his face. And I feel like he's doing a very good job in terms of...
Well,
like,
it's an interesting line because he's a good guy. He's a hero. But here he is killing, which is one of those things, you know, like Batman and Superman, we know, like, they don't kill, right? They'll do a lot.
Yeah.
But that's the line that they don't cross, because that's what the bad guys do.
Well, that's what...
But this Green Arrow, he crosses that line, which is interesting, because that's a storyline that they recently did in the comics with Green Arrow, is that a bunch of stuff goes on, and he actually murders somebody.
Oh, wow.
A bad guy, right?
Yeah.
And he's kind of... He has his own reasons to justify it.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, like, that's kind of... That's against the code of what these heroes are like, right? So, in this version of the character, he comes back from this island kind of dark and twisted, and he doesn't have that hang-up. He's killing people right away.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting to see them take that. But they also have this line where they have to show that he's remorseful about it. He doesn't want to have to do it, but at the same time, he's doing it to cover up what he is.
And I really like that idea. Like, this anti-hero, it makes him sort of really unique on television.
Mm-hmm.
The idea of, like, are we supposed to, like, because he's our main character, he's our protagonist in the story, but he also walks this interesting moral line. And here you have sort of the badass cop detective, and you're like, what's going on here? It seems really antagonistic. And I must say, this is one of my favorite reveals, so towards the end of the episode, and I'll point it out when it comes, but it's really, you're really like, what's going on with this detective? And he plays this nice antagonistic figure, when really, I don't know, it's this idea of the anti-hero and what sort of is the moral line, and I feel the detective will play a nice foil to that. The idea of, like, what lines can you cross in justice, and I feel like that's a through line that we're already seeing in the episode, and what the show will sort of focus on is this idea of, like, what is right, like, what is he doing that's... Anyways, I just think it's very interesting and difficult for him to do, and I think that the actor's doing a really good job of portraying that.
Yeah. The other thing that we're seeing in this scene is that we haven't actually seen Green Arrow yet.
No, that's true.
But we can tell that Oliver has a plan. Like, he's kind of got this idea of this vigilante figure, because he tells them, oh, this guy in a green hood showed up and rescued us, but I didn't really see much else, just this guy in a green hood. So so he hasn't actually put on the outfit yet,
but we know
that he's going to.
And it's good, and I love the little lines that I miss in the first time, where the detective is, like, talking to Queen's mom and being like, ooh, you can pay a queen's ransom. I would do anything for a kid. And she's like, you're out of line. And it's really like, you're like, well, what's going on with this detective? He seems kind of surly and rude.
Yeah.
And it's really, I don't know, like, a great development for this character. And then you have all these supporting characters I think are the most interesting to me. Like, you've got, the housekeeper who's in here now setting up her sort of maternal role as sort of the protector and someone that he can genuinely connect with and care about.
Yeah.
And you've always got this idea of, like, I think it's establishing his moral center.
Yeah.
Like, she really is like, I saw you before, you had a good heart, even though people thought you were a philanderer and all this stuff, you really were genuine and cared. And I think that she'll be sort of this grounding figure for him and really help.
Yeah, well, and then we've got this other character who's kind of along the same lines.
I love John Diggle. I love his name. It's gonna be, you have to, like, Google it the first time. I was like, it's gotta be from something. Who is he?
Yeah, he must be an existing character.
But no, he's just brilliant, brilliant writers at Arrow were like, John Diggle sounds like an awesome name.
Yeah. So he's his bodyguard, and you can kind of see in the beginning of their relationship that he's like, oh, so you're ex-military, and he notices all of these things about Diggle right away. And Diggle kind of notices some things about him right away, but but Oliver still manages to get the drop on him a little bit in a second here.
And he's, because he's so nice and sort of unwilling, he knows something's going on there, but you see, like, later in the party scene and all this stuff that he senses Oliver and who he really is, and perhaps is not as unaware as maybe we're meant to believe.
Yeah.
I don't know, and one of those classic tropes of sort of superheroes, he knocks him unconscious and then runs off to be a superhero. It's like, really? I don't know. Yeah. I feel like the person that gets knocked out the most has got to be the dumbest character on the show. Because, like, if you constantly, you're like, I was knocked out and the Green Arrow came. Where did Oliver go? Yeah. Like, I don't, anyways. Oh, look, more parkour over the fence and into
flipping over the fence and into the warehouse here so that we can get our version of the 80s training montage.
It's with great. He knocks down a wall with a hammer. It's kind of rugged and lovely. It's good.
It's a CW show, so he can't do any training with a shirt on.
I don't know.
He's
got to
take his shirt off, then he can train.
I don't know. I like that out, too. I was, like, impressed that they have all these scars on him and stuff like that. And if they're going to... I feel like that's, like, just, like, a nice sort of addition to his character that's... I don't know. It's important that he's really been through something and, you know...
Yeah.
He doesn't have anything on his pretty face, but when he takes his shirt off, you can really see the scars.
Absolutely, yeah. So we get this this look into, I guess, the Arrow Cave.
I guess,
the
making
of the Arrow Cave.
Sure.
That's not me making something up. That's what it's called.
Oh, seriously?
It's called the Arrow Cave in the comics. Yeah, and
he also
has, like, what's the name of his car? It's like, it's something almost the Arrowmobile.
Oh,
like, it might
man.
Just be the Arrowmobile.
Oh.
Because he's very obviously a Batman-esque character.
Yeah.
But we see him in this training montage with his voiceover.
Wow, did he actually have to do this as an actor? Like, this, like, the ladder jump?
I think so.
That's phenomenal, because if he actually did the ladder jump, that is...
It's impressive.
He could be on American Gladiator. There you go. if this Arrow show doesn't pan out for you, dude... It's good. His name is Steven, right? Yeah, okay, good.
Yeah,
I keep wanting to call him
Steven Amell. Yeah.
Steven. No, it's good. I think he's doing a really good job and sort of fitting into the character well. And
yeah, it's definitely a different Green Arrow than I think some people were probably expecting. But I think he's going to grow into the character. I think he's going to get there eventually to a point.
He needs to be more settled in it. And right now it's very, like, he's sort of tippy-toeing through this and, you know... shooting all these tennis balls in what's clearly a time simulation. Like, it's clearly, it took him that long to shoot those tennis balls. But anyways. And then you get this book. So we see this sort of book that has all these names in it. And we know it has something to do with his dad.
Yeah.
But we don't know 100% what. So it's really interesting. They're sort of, like, discovering, like, what's going on. And he's got his arsenal. And you're learning, you know, all this high-tech stuff that he clearly also learned on the island.
Learned when he was on an island by himself.
He learned how to, you know, build computers and... Anyways, so it's good, and he's got his hood from the island. Is that the hood from the island? I feel like perhaps...
Deathstroke,
there you go.
Oh my god, I can't... That took so long. That literally took me like an hour and a half to remember. Deathstroke, that's his name.
And here you get Adam Hump. So this is the villain for the... I assume they're going to set him up for a couple episodes as like the big sort of bad guy. But
he might be the big bad, but it's because he's got that list.
And he did cross him off at the end.
Yeah,
so it's
I think
the
it's
going to
be every couple episodes.
But you do have Adam sort of going, now this is like the throwaway line then, because then if he is just sort of a regular villain, like a weekly villain, then why did he care so much about Laurel Lance? Like, I feel like they're kind of sort of shoving it down our throat. They're like, she's going to be an important character.
Yeah.
Especially if you don't know Black Canary. I don't know. Some people are probably coming into Arrow not having a lot of backstory and sort of just...
not knowing that's where that
exactly. So that they're trying to be like, she's an important character and acts as sort of a contrast to him. And as someone... I mean, I have to throw it out there. I mean, I did come at this through Smallville. Lois Lane is one of the greatest female characters in comic books, I think...
Yeah.
In the whole world. Like, I just love her, and I think that she just sets up this great standard. So, but it's really hard to, like, how you have a foil for that in someone. Like, you can't sort of establish her on the same level. Like, she's not... She isn't to Green Arrow what Lois Lane is to Superman. Not that this show has tried to tell us that, but I feel like whenever you have that contrast, you really...
Well, that's the iconic character to contrast them to, right? Mm-hmm. If you're going to look at a... sort of a lesser known, less iconic character like Green Arrow or The Flash or Green Lantern or any of these other characters that are kind of on the periphery of pop culture, everybody's always going to put them up against Superman and Batman and these characters that we are so intimately familiar with just through virtue of them being such iconic characters. So it's difficult for these actors, I think, stepping into the roles of these characters that are less iconic. For Tom Welling and Erica Durance, they have previous actors before them,
yeah,
to sort of draw
take
from
the brunt of it, yeah.
And they've got just history of these, yeah, characters that have been around, yeah, that everybody knows on, that they can trade on.
Yeah.
But for Stephen Amell coming into this character, and for Katie Cassidy playing Dinah Lance, coming in and having to create a bit of that mm-hmm, iconography mm-hmm. and those characters, as well as paying tribute to everything that's come before it.
Yeah.
I mean, Green Arrow's been all over the board with a lot of stuff. There's a lot of different portrayals of him in pop culture, and none of them are that consistent. So,
okay.
So this is just another one to throw out,
yeah,
there, and this could be the one, right?
Yeah.
This could be the one that
everybody's
talking
about. Well, I will say, so far, the show's doing a pretty good job.
Yeah.
Like, it's really setting us out. Like, we have characters that we relate to, and if you are a fan of the Green Arrow,
yeah,
you can sort of see where that's coming from. It's paying enough tribute to that. But it's also, it's leaving space to have these extra characters. Like, I don't know if Dinah Lance's dad was a detective in the comics. Like, I don't know,
yeah,
what his sort of back character is, but I'm starting to really enjoy him as a character. Sorry, he was just on screen, so that's why.
And we're getting, it's establishing these,
yeah,
characters really well.
Yeah.
For the characters that we're supposed to know who they are and what they do,
yeah,
we know that. For the characters that are supposed to be a little bit more mysterious and a,
yeah,
little bit more in the dark,
yeah,
we're getting that as well, right? Like we've mentioned with Tommy. He's a little bit more of, you know, like, what's going on there? There's something,
yeah,
going on under the surface with his mom. There's something going on there. We don't really know
until
clearly.
The end of the episode,
until
where it's like, clearly, it's like,
yeah,
look at this. Oh, this is one of my, so this party scene I really enjoy because, again, using the spaces in Vancouver, this is a beautiful, this is the convention center downtown,
yeah,
or
Vancouver
something?
Convention.
And it's really, it's so open and beautiful, and they're really, I don't know, I just was really impressed with this scene, and they have lots of extras. Look at the CW sort of shelling out for that. You have
the
a pilot episode,
yeah,
here,
yeah,
have a big party,
yeah,
scene. But no, it's really beautiful and a nice use of the space. So I just had to point that out. It's just great. You can shove like a few, I don't know, it started getting a little tedious at the end of Smallville, where it's like Ace of Clubs with like 20 extras and,
yeah,
in one corner. And,
yeah,
so it's good. I like that they're sort of giving it its dues and treating the show with generosity and respect. I think it's,
yeah,
starting in a really good place.
Well,
right?
I think they obviously want another Smallville. So we just saw a scene of Oliver putting on the Playboy persona.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think this is a little bit of paint by numbers for them, because he's got to have that the disconnect between him and the Green Arrow, the,
yeah,
thing, that buffer zone, so that nobody thinks that he could possibly be this vigilante.
Yeah.
And so he's got that, the brash, like, standing on top of a table doing
tequila shots. Yeah.
It's good. And kind of, you know, the attitude that Tommy has.
Yeah, and this awful, again, Tommy, your jokes and the Twilight,
yeah, the
joke.
The,
like,
Twilight reference.
It's one thing, well, I think you were saying,
yeah,
it's one thing to say, you know, the chick that looks like Twilight, what's Twilight? That's one thing, but to be like, you're better off not knowing, like, it's,
yeah,
throwing sort of this...
It's the needless dig.
I don't know,
needless dig. Yeah, it just goes a step too far.
And it's
far
not
with this character.
Funny, and
no,
she didn't look like the chick from Twilight,
no,
so,
no,
like,
yeah,
it's a useless joke. Anyways, sorry. So that's what I feel like, of all the things it's doing right, I think,
yeah,
there's maybe one or two. Anyways.
So we've,
yeah,
got Ollie confronting Speedy on her apparent drug problem. He's...
Yes.
He's kind of keyed into it, and he's trying to be the big brother, but she's a little bit pissed off with him because
he's been gone for five years.
He
died. Well,
yeah,
that's the whole thing, is that they never once say anything about the drugs. Like, they're both not stupid, and,
yeah,
they know they're talking about,
yeah,
drugs, but they never have to actually say it, which I kind of appreciate about what they're doing.
Yeah.
But, like, the idea that, like, she's, like, legitimately, we're sort of seeing her, and that was the one episode where they did, in Smallville, when they had Speedy, was, like, this idea that it actually was about her, and I thought that was really,
yeah,
interesting. I think she's a really interesting character with a lot of potential.
Yeah.
But, like, really, they're showing her, they're like, no, you died. When I was 12 years old, my mom, my dad and my brother died,
yeah,
and I had to deal with that. So it's this interesting sort of, now he's back in her life, and sort of how she goes about dealing with that. And I think his journey will be sort of part and parcel with hers,
yeah,
which I guess is why they're introducing, again, maybe why they're introducing all these characters so early on.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, oh,
so,
and
we've got another moment with
Diggle,
where,
yeah,
he notices that Ollie's a little bit of a better guy than he's,
yeah,
putting
it's
on.
Well, that's
everybody.
The thing. I think he sees through Ollie's charade.
Yeah.
Unlike sort of Laurel here, who, when she confronts him, is like, oh, I see through you. And he's like, no, you don't. I'm going to hurt you. She's like, yes, you're right. But we don't know if she's maybe, is she putting it on? Yeah. I don't know. Because you were saying she is becoming, I don't know, if, for those that know, right, she's going in the Black Canary direction.
Yeah.
And this idea of deception as being sort of part and parcel of who she is.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because they have this moment, she comes and she says, I was a little bit harsh when I saw you, but, you know, it's understandable. There's a lot of emotion going on here. And instead of letting her have that, he's like, no, I need to keep you at a distance. What I'm going to do, I can't have anybody close to me. It's the classic superhero thing, right? Like,
it's
the secret identity, well, all that stuff.
Maybe that's what bothered me so much about it, is it's a classic superhero trope for someone who's not a classic superhero, right? Yeah. He's an anti-hero.
Yeah.
So the fact that he, in one beat, breaks a man's back, and in the next beat, sacrifices his own emotion for, like, his identity, is this interesting sort of dynamic in the character.
But that's the balance that they have to have in order to make him likable, even while he's running around killing guys with arrows, right?
That's true. That becomes the hardest thing to do, I think, is to, make him a likable character without overly throwing it down our throats or anything.
Well, and we have to see that he's dark. We have to see him go down this rabbit hole. And I think that what we'll probably end up seeing is her being the one to pull him out of it a little bit, right? Because obviously, we've mentioned the killing thing is, it's an interesting turn for the character. And whether or not it's something that'll stick around, it's going to be difficult for them. Because at what point is he a vigilante, and at what point is he just a murderer, right?
Right, yeah.
Whether these guys are gangsters and thugs or not... Well, he's killing them.
But that's... Okay, that's always been one thing, though, about the Green Arrow character, is he kind of puts his money where his mouth is. In terms of, like, if you say that you want to do something and you actually want justice and you're going after all this stuff, if you're going after people that kill people, that are that are murderers, that are, like, thieves, then what... Like, where are you willing to step up? And I think, again, that's going to be an interesting foil in Dinah being sort of this... inside the legal system as a lawyer working for justice through that vent, and then him... working as the Green Arrow. And as we see at the end of the... I don't know. Again, you've seen the episodes. It's not a spoiler. But the idea that she failed through the legal system to get Adam Hunt to give the companies that he stole from money, right?
Yeah.
In the end, he achieves it. And he does it by killing people, right? So it's just this interesting sort of dynamic to the character and how he sort of holds himself up. And here we go. Poor Diggle's going to get bowled over right now.
Yeah.
He's
gonna get knocked out.
But he's trying. He has the sincerest heart where he knows right here. He's like, it's not locked, Ollie. You're making me open up the door and you're gonna hurt me and I'm gonna let you. I don't know. I feel like that's okay. It's okay.
That's a really good point, is that
he's very aware.
Understands that something's gonna happen
there. He's very aware.
And he lets it happen.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So we've got these gangsters,
the
very menacing thugs. Preparing for an attack from Green Arrow.
With his super tech
High tech, because we know he 5 years on an island that apparently had a technical college where he learned metallurgy and hacking and all of these sorts of things.
I love the planning of this episode. It's good.
Yeah.
It shows you that he has an escape plan, because I expected him to enter through the window, but then they're like, no, he's entering through the back of the building. And I'm like, well, then what's that arrow for? Haha, he's gonna exit that way. So it's, I don't know, it's good. It shows some forethought, right?
Yeah,
it's
good. It shows, like, Oliver has a plan this whole time. This is the first time we're seeing the Green Arrow really, like,
in the hood full, and being who he
is. Yeah, we saw him a little bit before.
With the eye makeup.
Yeah.
God, I just don't understand the eye makeup. I just really, I don't know. The thing that really bothers me about the eye makeup is, 10 seconds later, he has to scoot across the building and then beat Ollie again. His face would be, like, what? Is he, like, rubbing off the makeup in the bathroom as he's changing out of his Green Arrow costume? Like, I don't know. I feel like
they wanted to stay away from the Domino mask, but you've just done it in a different way, and it doesn't
work. Whatever. Like, we know. He's already dressed up like freaking Robin Hood.
Yeah.
What is the problem with putting a mask on him? I just don't.
Well, you had mentioned at one point the Green Arrow up from Smallville.
Yeah.
And they could have just done the sunglasses.
Like, I know if you want to distance yourself a little bit from that, you can. But, I mean, it worked, right? He had sunglasses for a reason.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, but he also had the voice thingy. Which was a little bit obnoxious, but...
I thought he just talked really differently. Like,
no,
Batman.
he had
a voice
thing.
Modulator.
It was on the glasses. It went down to like his.
Yeah. Okay.
But
he was a little high tech. I feel like this Green Arrow is not as high tech.
No, he's not. But he's a little bit more blunt. He's more of a blunt instrument here, and he's not afraid to use the arrows.
That's true. That's
so he doesn't need the boxing glove arrow, because he's willing to just shoot a dude through the chest.
Yeah, that's true.
And he's willing to take a couple bullets to the chest himself. So we go to commercial with him knocked out and the cops coming up
God he's wearing a bulletproof vest and they didn't shoot him in the head. Like, whatever.
That's always the thing. Like, if you're going to shoot a Batman, kind of aim for that mouth area.
Yeah.
Actually, there's a really great line in one of the Batman graphic novels that he wears the logo.
Yeah.
Why do you think I wear a target on my chest?
Oh, so that people, right? so that people aim for the chest. That's,
they
I
aim
guess,
for the bat symbol. So Green Arrow doesn't have that going on.
Ooh, maybe
it's
people,
very obvious.
It's
shoot for the hood.
The green. That's, yeah. It's, anyways, so it's good. Anyways, I feel so. You just had the big smackdown, and he's, you know, I don't know. I assume that he got knocked out for the 2 seconds. You know, luckily he got knocked out only for 2 seconds.
Yeah.
Whereas everybody else that he knocks out will get knocked out for a good 10 minutes, so that they don't actually see him becoming Green Arrow.
Well,
I love how that's.
He didn't really knock that many people out. He just kind of shot them through the chest with arrows.
That's true. And you saw, and we missed the idea that he shot that little. You know, he missed the bad guy, but you know, he didn't actually miss him.
He was actually planting something.
And this is so badass. I love this sort of exchange between the two detectives. Tell me you saw that. Like, that was a legitimate, like, I don't know, moment of all the moments. And we're back into the club with the girls, 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 hot babes music. Oh, I love closed captioned. It's hilarious.
Well, it's one of those things, because he's the first superhero in this world that we know of, at least at this point. So.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
So for these cops, it's like, that's crazy.
True.
That guy
that's
just
true.
Ziplined out of here pretty much on an arrow.
Great.
And then they go across to the party and they find Oliver Queen there, and it's a little bit of a coincidence.
Like Oliver Queen without the green on his face. I don't know. Anyways, but this is where it's going to come. The best reveal of it, right?
Yes.
The idea that, like, you really get this interchange between the cop and Ollie being a snarky ass, right? Because he's trying to cover up his identity, but also understanding how painful it is for the cop, right? This detective then says, he's like, right, about his daughter, and reveals that he is Detective Lance and he's actually Dinah and Sarah's father, and it really pushes him. It's this moment that pushes him, where he's like, you're being such a snarky ass, do you not even care at all? When really, the thing is that Ollie's like, I'm doing this because I care, right? And so you see that sort of in his face afterwards, and then he goes to do some tequila shots. Right, like, it's this idea that he really, like, it's this great moment, and I think that those are going to be the two most interesting characters for me. Like, that relationship
absolutely.
Is going to be one of the most interesting dynamics.
That's going to, that right there, I'm as I've been watching it, watching Paul Blackthorne, who plays Quentin Lance, the detective, he's kind of the John Glover, who played Jonathan Kent?
The dude from
Dukes of Hazzard.
From Dukes of Hazzard. Oh,
I can't believe
John Snyder.
Oh, so, that's terrible that I blanked on. But
you know, for those Smallville fans, you knew who we were talking about. But anyway,
there were those characters that really grounded it with their amazing performances.
And
sort of let the younger actors find their way.
Which is great.
Because they could be the more grounded characters.
Yeah,
so I think
yeah.
Paul Blackthorne's really doing that with Detective Lance.
Yeah.
And you're right, they're going to be great foils for one another.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And they're going to be able to play off of one another and really develop a relationship there.
And
we
see, he crosses out Adam Hunt. He's achieved his Robin Hood mission.
We saw his hacker arrow, which is a new
arrow.
I love
that arrow where it's just like, I'm going to steal $40 million from you. And here we go. So he accomplished what his dad wanted him to do. And now we actually go back to seeing his dad again. Like, what happened to his dad? Because we know that it was just him on the island.
Yeah.
But he escaped with his dad in the boat. And so this
his dad and somebody else.
Yeah, his dad and, I don't know, the captain.
This other
something.
Guy.
Yeah. Right? So it's like these three guys on this raft, and you really are like, well, how did he end up on the island by himself?
Yeah.
And it's really curious, and you just get sort of these levels. I love this, I don't know, I'm going to throw it out there. It was sort of a Memento-esque episode, where they really sort of started revealing things, and then they started with the end, or they ended with the beginning. Like, they really, they end with this idea of, like, no, and this is where he's coming from.
Yeah.
So they really sort of give you a lot of layers to the character, and I really like it. And you really, this relationship is so great with his dad, and they really, really established sort of a precedent for why he became who he was.
Like, well, I think and how he got so dark.
Yeah.
Like, right? Like, how, he was how so, he's yeah. willing to go to these lengths. Yeah. Because here we see his father shoots this guy.
Yeah.
And then his dad says, survive, yeah. puts the gun to his head and, just, yeah. and kills himself.
Yeah.
And you, it, like, the idea that he's stuck in the boat with his father.
Dad, yeah, and he has to, like, that's intense. Like, yeah. what happens with the dad? Like, I mean, I don't know. That's not a throwaway. He shoots yeah. himself in the boat, which yeah. is a big deal. Like, he's, anyways. So it really sort of sets up this idea of, like, then we start talking about how he's a guardian angel and he's coming through
yeah.
and maybe, like, working things for his dad. So the idea that he's now, again, he's accomplished things, he's given money back to the poor and all that jazz. So,
yeah.
But
yeah,
you really sort of see. You see this moral dilemma in the character, like the idea yeah. of like where his darkness comes from, but that it's dark for such a good reason
yeah.
and really putting money where your mouth is. So I'll say of all the things, he's not going to be cookie cutter. He's not Superman. He's not Batman,
yeah.
right? He's going to be his own superhero. And I really like them for doing that.
Yeah. It absolutely has its own identity
yeah.
right off the bat.
Yeah.
So.
And then you get, oh, Nestor's Market's in the background. Oh, anyways, they're in the alley and you've got, again, then this is where we find out, you know, Dinah, Laurel, Lance, but it's him and her and Merlin, right? And talking, and you're establishing that maybe he had this sort of ulterior motive. I remember you saying this idea that if
yeah.
we really don't know what's up with this character yet, if he really
yeah.
is a friend to Ollie, or if he's a little bit antagonistic.
Well,
or,
we realize here that he has something to gain by Oliver being out of the picture
yeah.
because he's
yeah.
clearly interested in Dinah.
Yeah.
And now that Oliver's back, that's a little bit more tricky for
yeah.
him.
Well, and I'm interesting how it's gonna play out later, because Ollie
yeah.
knows that he's right, so it's, I don't know. And then how she, and then it really sets her up. It's like, if I don't try to save it, who's gonna try to save it? And then she, the Green Arrow, is gonna try to save it. Anyways,
yeah.
I don't want them to push this triangle too much, because it's a superfluous sort of plot point.
It's a CW show.
I know. I don't. Anyway,
we gotta have it somewhere,
but,
right?
But he and somewhere. He kind of sees. He's like, I'm okay with that because the island changed me. And anyway, so it's interesting that he just, really, again, you've got this island. Maybe that's where that lost comment came in. Just the idea.
I think there might have been,
playing,
like we're going to make
yeah.
the comment before anybody else
does. Yeah, okay.
Right?
They're
kind of beating everybody to the punch. You can't yeah. make fun of me if I make fun of myself first.
That's true. It's a great island. It looks awesome. So anyways, it's good. They're sort of setting it up. And before, and then the very last thing they hit on then is his mom. Which kind of, to everybody watching, is like, this isn't a big reveal. I don't understand why they had to leave it to the very last
yeah.
moment
yeah.
of the show.
It's very,
like,
obvious.
Clearly the mom is something, I don't know,
yeah.
Ollie's an orphan, there's sort of that, I don't know, like, you know,
yeah.
something's happening with the mom, but anyways.
Yeah. Well, so that kind of, that leaves us the end of the episode with our kind of what we think is going to happen
yeah.
for the rest
yeah.
of the season,
they
for
see.
The rest of the series. My opinion is that Tommy is a little bit more nefarious than we're led to believe in this first episode.
Yeah.
I think there's something going on there.
I don't think he's, like, in cahoots with the mom or anything. I think that there's different things, and they are throwing a few red herrings out there. I think you were saying earlier, too, like, the Walter character,
mm-hmm.
like, the mom's fiancé or husband, I guess, now, we don't think that he, I mean, he looks kind of ominous. He was
yeah.
the business partner for the dad, but maybe he's not as involved as we're led to believe.
Yeah.
And then maybe Tommy's
yeah.
more involved than we're led to believe.
Yeah.
Right, so there's all these characters that are surrounding him, and we're going to see how much of his solidarity comes out, like, how much he's connected to these characters and how
yeah.
much he is just the Green Arrow himself.
Yeah.
So I think that they're really setting us up to go in all sorts of directions, and I'm really sort of excited.
Well, I'm
going to
call
through.
It right now that the whole thing, it's season 7, is connected to a group called Veritas, and they're looking for a guy called the Traveler.
We
and
couldn't
Virgil
end
Swan.
On just a Green Arrow. No, we
yeah.
have to go back to Smallville.
No,
go back it's
to
good.
Smallville.
No, it's good.
We're going to go back to Smallville a lot more.
It's good, and I think it paved the way for a really good effort on the CW's part to continue that trend and to
yeah.
recognize its audience and understand that there's people that are passionate about that and that'll see it through, right? Like, we're
absolutely
we're excited
yeah.
for the show. So
yeah, it definitely there's a lot of balls in the air, a lot of things
yeah.
in motion,
yeah.
and I that's what this episode was all about. It's a pilot. It does everything that origin story is supposed to do. It
mm-hmm.
tells us why he's the Green Arrow. Who all these people that he's surrounded by are,
mm-hmm.
and it makes us ask questions about certain people,
yeah.
And sort of starts building that intrigue. What's this list? What's he doing? What's the aim? What's,
yeah.
what's his eventual goal, right?
And
so that makes us want to tune in next time and see where's he going to go next with this, right?
Yeah, so. And it's all about the characters. That's why we're watching a show about somebody that we know. We know the Green Arrow. Yeah. We know the characters. We want to know what the CW is going to do with it. And we want to know what these characters are going to connect. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Journey. Well, it's all about this interpretation, right? Yeah. And it's a CW show. I mean, Amanda and I are both huge fans of CW shows. We've talked about Smallville a lot. Yeah. We're huge fans of Supernatural.
Yeah. I like Vampire Diaries.
Yeah, Vampire Diaries. I'm reluctant to admit that 90210 was on my viewing schedule.
Now you know our bias coming into it.
Yeah,
but, you know,
what was the one with the cheerleaders? Wildcat or
Hellcats? I was on Hellcats too. That was interesting.
There you go. Yeah. Well, yeah.
That was from the previous podcast. Amanda's, extra work in Vancouver. Yeah, it's fun, but to see that CW has a ground roots here in Vancouver, and we really like it, and it's good to see it coming back and establishing another great show. So
what do you want to see from the rest of this season? Like, what are the things, what directions do you want to see it go
in? I think they're heading in a really good direction right now. I want them to not bring in Black Canary this season. I really want them to, like, sort of withhold that, and it's going to be so hard for them, but I actually have issues with them bringing in Dinah this early anyways. Mm-hmm. But I guess they had to, they had to find something to him to connect to, I guess, and they really sort of establish all of these characters at once. Yeah. I kind of would like them to go down the Speedy route first. Like, if they had to choose between one of those two, I'd like him to sort of connect with his sister through this season rather than Dinah, but I know we all love the love triangle.
I don't see Willa Holland as a hero.
No, well,
right?
Yeah,
particularly with the way that she's been portrayed, like she's portraying this character. Yeah. She almost is her character from the OC, Marissa's younger sister.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I don't, as much like it's difficult enough for me to believe that Oliver Queen is running around in a green hood being the Green Arrow in this world that they've just set up for us. The idea that she would accompany him in a Red Hood as Speedy.
Yeah, no, okay.
You know, like the
whole thing. Not to that degree, though, but I'm like, of all the people to become more of a.
To be the confidant.
Anyways, yeah, so I don't know. I'm kind of interested. I feel like they've set up enough that I'll be happy if they sort of stay on these tracks. The worst thing I think you can do in a pilot is set up all these different tracks and then go somewhere completely different. So as long as they sort of keep going the way that they're going, I'll be happy. What about yourself? Do you see anything that you're really looking forward to or really sort of grasping onto?
I want to see more of what happened on that island. With the Deathstroke mask being there. Clearly he wasn't alone. Right? So that he was there for 5 years.
Yeah, and something happened to him there, and I think that they've really set up that dichotomy, right, that we're going to reveal more as we go along. And I feel, hopefully, like this episode, if it's any indication, that we're starting from a place of, like, here's all the information now, let's find out how we got there. And I'm kind of interested in that trope, and I feel like they've set that up for us in this first episode.
Yeah,
so.
I think it'll be good, and as we get more of that stuff, I think that we'll see more and more of that, the character of Oliver Queen and Green Arrow fleshed out. I think that we're going to see Black Canary sooner rather than later. I think it's a very difficult thing for them to do because a lot of the fans know that's where that character is going.
Right.
So it's this thing of, you don't want to do it too soon, but you also can't withhold it for that long because people will start to get annoyed with it.
Yeah,
right?
That's true.
So I think that they'll probably hold off for the first half of the season for moving her towards that direction.
Right, yeah.
Just have her sort of seeing what's going on with the Green Arrow and admiring it. But then I really see her discovering exactly what's been going on.
Right.
That he's been killing people. He's got a really sort of weird moral code.
Right.
And then saying, that's not cool. You should, and maybe not knowing that it's Oliver yet, but just saying that nobody should be out there with that much, like, he's not accountable, right?
No, so, but isn't the Black Canary a little bit sort of in her own right? Doesn't she have a little bit more of a power than he does? I don't know. We'll
in the comics, she does, but we've kind of established that this is a world without powers.
Exactly,
right?
So I'm really curious to see
But when you start making a nod to Deathstroke, he's a little bit more of a fantastical character. Yes, he's an assassin.
So they've set up all these seeds for us.
Yeah,
it's good.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
So I think, I'd like to see where those, we're going to see the guys in the masks again, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah.
We're going to find out what that has to do with anything, because that doesn't have anything to do with Adam Hunt.
Right. No, but it had to do with his mom.
But it had to do with his mom.
So we need to figure out what that plot line is.
I don't know. With any of these shows, I'm always just looking for those little things.
Yeah.
Those, and I'll say exactly what I say on Front Lines about the Clone Wars. I'm always the most excited for the places where they're going to surprise us.
Oh, yes.
Because there's all these things that we're expecting. There's all these directions that we want them to go.
Yeah.
But much like in this first episode, when we find out that the detective, and some other people probably knew going into it, but for us, we sat here not knowing that the detective was
Sarah and Dinah.
That reveal towards the end of the episode, for me, was like, oh, that's really cool. That just made that character a lot more interesting. Yeah. So it's surprises like that. It's stuff like that that's going to come, those left turns, those right turns that you don't see coming. That's what I want to see more of. That's where I really enjoy watching shows. That's why I like Fringe. Because it's just full of wacky turns left and right.
Also shot in Vancouver and a great show.
Yes.
Sci-fi. Woot. Yeah. We're the sci-fi capital. It's funny. Sci-fi shows, it feels like, are like all in forests somewhere in the middle of BC.
Yeah. Just shot sort of in the middle of Stanley Park at some point or another.
So that's good.
But yeah, I mean, I think that pretty much does it for our first episode.
Thanks for listening, everybody. So we appreciate it.
Thank you for everybody who hotly anticipated our first episode. The guy who commented on our website like 2 days after it went live, asking where he could find us on iTunes. So hopefully you're listening to this. And all of our friends and everybody who's following us on Facebook.
Not all of our friends are following us.
So the eight people. All seven of you that are following us on Facebook.
It will be more after this now. Because like us.
Yeah.
Be our friends.
We just want attention. That's all this is about. But if you do like this show, or if you don't like it, you can. There's tons of ways to get in contact with us.
Better if you don't like it, because then we can argue with you via the internet.
Yes,
which is what the internet is for.
Absolutely,
it's great.
If you want to get in contact with us, you can check out our website. You can check out pretty much everything with this handy dandy phrase Quiver Podcast. Mm-hmm. So the website is quiverpodcast.com. Facebook.com/QuiverPodcast is where you can find our Facebook page. Twitter.com/QuiverPodcast. You can follow us there on Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm at ArkWulf, ArkWulf.
Mm-hmm. And I like the Twitters as well. I'm at Akonkin, so AKONKIN. Tweet me. I love it.
And you can email us, let us know your predictions for what's going to happen in season one and beyond, and how you felt about this first episode, how you felt about our first episode, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and everything
good
in between. You can send that to mail@quiverpodcast.com. Mm-hmm. And we will see you guys next week.
Exciting. Thanks for listening again. I just appreciate it. It's fabulous.
It is.
So good.
Awesome. Thanks.
Yay. Third time's a charm.
That was only the second one. And it's my fault, so.
Okay, good. Okay. Green button means go.
Yes. Is it happening? Are the numbers going up?
They are.
The numbers are going up, which means that we're actually recording this time.
Man.
See? We have another good tag for the end of the episode. And like I said, we are the best, least professional podcast on the internet.
Oh my god, that's so true and perfect. Oh, I love us.
Okay.
Oh, God.
Okay. So now we need the silence, and then we'll go in. And this time, we'll do better introductions. It's going to be great.
True.
This is going to be better than the first episode.
The first unaired pilot.
Okay.